Well, according to the nonprofit teen outreach group, the National Runaway Switchboard, about 1.5 million kids run away every year. 13-year-old Allie Loftus of Massachusetts was one of them. But her parents took to social media and, after an agonizing 2 weeks, found her in the home of a 42-year-old man who's now in jail. It was a nightmare, one they now want to spare other parents. They've set up a website and a by-request guide. We'll link you up at herenow.org. But today, we want to learn more about what they have to say about how to use social media to find a runaway. Tony and Christina Loftus came to our studios. Christina, start. When you first realized Allie was gone, she left a pretty chilling note on her whiteboard in her room. Don't look for me. I'm not lost. I'm found.
You know, I didn't even see it to begin with. I was the first one home, and, you know, I just kept spanning the house. And, you know,
where is she?
It's a big house, so it took me a few minutes to really realize that she wasn't there. And, I mean, my first call was to Tony, and the second call was to the police. But, I mean, it was actually the police who ended up seeing that note. I didn't even look at it.
And why did you, I mean, just, we want to talk, we want to devote most of the time here to what parents can do when they're confronted with this same thing, but why were you so concerned that she wasn't there, Tony? I mean, were there problems of 13-year-olds? You know, I almost feel like, why ask if there are problems? There are always problems with 13-year-olds, but were there some issues that made you think, gee, she might really be gone?
No, I think that she probably had the same teenage angst that other 13-year-olds have. The biggest issue is that she just wasn't where she was supposed to be. I mean, I think that that's what most parents sort of run into. Like, you know, you come home, you expect the kid to be home. They're not home. You're like, okay, well, where could they be? And we live, you know, far away from pretty much anything. So it's not like she could have been at a neighbor's house. And we just figured, you know, let's find out where she is.
And then you find the note and you realize that she is gone. What do you start doing, Tony?
The first thing you do, which is what Christina did, which is you call the cops. And they come, they file a missing persons report. The next thing the cops do is they go to the neighbors' houses. Because by and large, most of missing persons cases tend to be what's called benign, which basically means that the kid just isn't where they expected them to be. So
right.
They're at a friend's
but
house.
But they're close by.
But
right.
They're close by. Yeah. The most important thing that I think parents should do that Christina and I didn't do after you make the phone calls is get out a notebook and start writing down notes about what's going on. Because everything happens so quickly, and you're under so much stress that you don't remember phone numbers and names of people who you've talked to who can help you. And if you don't write it down, you'll never get back.
Well, Christina, meanwhile, you know, you're monitoring the phone. You're numb in some ways. And what else are you thinking about? I mean, as parents who's you have a typical 13-year-old who, as you said, she has some sort of angst. You said she was having some problems making friends, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, who has not been there?
Right.
But are you racking your brain also trying to think what else?
I was. I mainly just tried to remain focused. You know, I kept saying to myself, what good am I if I'm a crumbling ball who doesn't function? I just felt I have to hold it together to be able to be helpful.
You both went online and created a Facebook page. Now, what did you do?
So we went online. We created the Find Allie Loftus Facebook page.
I had a steady stream of friends to help me, and I had a few younger tech-savvy people. But, I mean, actually, putting up the Facebook page is actually quite simple. And then I would just didn't want to overwhelm it with information, but every day, at least once a day, maybe twice, I would put up pictures of family or, I mean, my main thing was to reach out to her in case she was looking at it somewhere. So I put, like, a video of the dog. I put, you know, pictures of when we were having some family time or good time. And then I just wrote things, you know, we had plans to go visit my father, which she normally loves to do up in Maine. My goal was to reach out to her if she was to see it so that she would think, okay, and call us. But what it turned into was just people looking at it and resending it out to their list of people, and it just kept expanding.
The idea of social media is that basically you're building a large community of people who are helping you on a particular task, right? And in 12 days, 2,500 people liked the Facebook page that Christina created and Christina maintained, and people commented on it, people posted their own pictures. It was really helpful, and what helps us and I guess other parents in the same situation is that when you see that outpouring of people who are supporting you trying to find your missing child, you get you c- continue and you go on? Because I think that the way the stats run, 97% of all kids eventually return home. That's a really big number, and it's a number that Christina and I had in our heads the entire time. So, I always thought, and Christina always thought, that we were going to find our daughter. And it's just it was a question of when and how, and how many people could help us try to do that.
Tony, at this point, you have figured out that Allie went to New York. Now, remind us how you figured this out.
We did it together. The last place that her cell phone was pinged was in downtown Boston. I have family in New York. We figured that she was going to be, that if she was downtown Boston, she was getting on a bus to New York. We asked the Wayland Police, who were absolutely fantastic, not unless I have to say that, and so were the New York City Police Department. But we asked the police to go down and check the bus terminal for videotapes. They went down immediately, and they wound up interviewing people from the Peter Pan bus terminal. And Peter Pan helped her buy a ticket at like 6 o'clock at night on Friday night.
In Boston.
And then somebody prevented her from getting on the bus. Another Peter Pan person prevented her from getting on the bus because she was out of turn. But she's like, well, I have a crutch, let me on. And they're like, nope, you have to wait your turn. And then when it was her turn, they let her right on the bus.
Mm.
And it's, you know, and all of this could have been prevented if Peter Pan just did what is in their rule book, which is basically don't let minors travel.
Yeah, she's too young.
She's too young, right? So an airline would never have let her on a plane.
I know, and I haven't been able to put minors on trains. I mean,
it's mind-boggling. I know that she would have tried to run away anyway, but all this could have been stopped a lot earlier had Peter Pan just done what they're supposed to do.
Okay, make a note of that. All right, so you know that she got a ticket in Boston, and then the videotape showed her getting off in New York.
We were lucky in a lot of ways. You know, there's no doubt about it. But where we were lucky is that we knew where she was, so we could focus the police on a specific location. Although she turned out to be in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Right, but at least we were able to say, well, we know she's in New York, so please help us.
And people did. That's Tony Loftus. We're also speaking with Christina about how these parents use social media to find their runaway daughter after the break, how that happened here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with Tony and Christina Loftus of Massachusetts. Last year, their 13-year-old daughter, Allie, ran away from home. As we just heard, she boarded a bus in Boston, traveled to New York, where she was seen on a videotape at the Port Authority there getting off a bus. And kind of moving the story forward and collapsing a little bit, Tony then went to New York to post flyers and begged TV stations to let him on. Meanwhile, Christina created a Facebook page. 2,500 likes on Facebook led to a Huffington Post story, which led to more media and coverage. And then a man in New Jersey saw a local TV report and called the TV station. They alerted police. And now 42-year-old Jorge Luis Garzon has been arrested and charged with kidnapping, child endangerment, and other offenses. He pled guilty and is serving a 5-year sentence. Now, there are some news reports that cite unofficial sources saying he lured the young girl online. Meanwhile, that young girl, Allie, is getting professional help. And Tony, her dad, do you think this relatively happy ending could have happened without your social media campaign?
Without the social media stuff, we don't find the kid. Because what the social media did was it gave us the 4,000 people who liked the Huffington Post article that led to the Daily News and the Boston Herald writing an article. The next day those articles came out, the four New York City television stations, who when I first got to New York said, we won't talk to you, all of a sudden started to talk to us because there was a social media storm, and that became a story.
Police are still searching for a 13-year-old Massachusetts teen named Allie Loftus, who her parents say ran away from home nearly 2 weeks ago. Authorities believe
After that, I was on morning television at 7 o'clock in the morning, and some guy was watching television who was unemployed, saw me and recognized the kid from the neighborhood and called in.
He was a neighbor of this 42-year-old and had saw Allie in his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And then realized that something was wrong. So he called the police, and the police picked up our daughter 2 hours later. But, you know, the advantage to having social media is that you expand the search past the perimeters of where you were normally going to search, because we never would have looked in New Jersey, right? You know, we had concentrated all of our efforts back in New York City.
Yeah. Well, right now, to bring us all up to date, the professional advice is that Allie talked to you in her own time about exactly what happened. You're just happy she's safe. But there is a chance that the way that she got to this man and went on this awful trip was also through social media. There's an irony there that, you know, it was used to save her potentially, but also maybe
you know, that's now common cautionary tale. It might have been how she got there.
Well, it's one of the things, actually, that I've started to do with the organization is we've started to pivot to talk more about Internet safety and Internet protection. And the thing that I like to look at in terms of Internet safety is that most parents tend to treat the Internet like a diary. It's the kind of thing that you only break open when there's a problem. And the Internet's not really a diary. It's a neighborhood. It's a neighborhood where kids go, where they shop, where they hang out with other friends, where they buy music, they listen to music. You know, they do all the sort of things that you know they normally expect them to do on the
Internet.
Right.
It would be as if a diary had little tunnels and doors that open and go further into other places that you can't see.
So if we treat it like a diary, we don't go online and watch them. If we treat it as a neighborhood, then we, as parents, take it on ourselves to know all the people in the neighborhood. Like, you wouldn't let your kid go out to a party without knowing who the house it was going to be at, whether the parents were going to be home or not, who the other kids were going to be there. And the only way that you can do that on the Internet is by monitoring what your kids do online, having software to monitor.
And it's funny because you had a software monitor and you used it for about a week.
Yep.
And you thought, well, she's doing fine. And then you stopped.
Right. Nothing's going on. I'm not going to worry about it. I wish that we kept it on. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think primarily because I think that what happens when you have it on is I had it on as spyware. And I don't think that you want to look at it as spyware. I think you want to look at you want to put modern software on your kids' computers, tell your kids that it's there. And then you can have conversations about what your kids are doing online so that if there's a behavior that you recognize that they wouldn't do in a neighborhood that you know of, you can go and have a conversation with them about it. Mm-hmm. One of the issues that happens with kids is that parents always think that they're monitoring their kids' Facebook pages, and that's enough. But Facebook has a setting where when a kid posts a message, they can select who can't see the message. So I've watched kids with modern software select out parents, uncles, other family members, and just send a message off about their personal lives to other kids. And you have no clue that this is going on, yet this is the communication that should make you worried and stand up and pay attention.
Boy, Christina, I'm thinking... great outcome for you. You know, we're just so happy. I know, look at you. Tony just collapsed on the table, like, yeah. But what are people asking you? Do you find other parents saying, oh my gosh?
Most people are afraid to ask. You know, they don't want to pry. You know, they've asked me, you know, is she okay? Is everything okay? You know, yes. You know, we're doing well. She's doing well. But, you know, I mean, at work, I work in a large office and, you know, once I came back and everybody was assured that, you know, things were all right, nobody inquires too much.
And little do they know, this movie you were in, you know, Facebook and a husband pounding the streets and bus terminal videos and, you know, this extraordinary rabbit hole you went down.
Yeah.
And what would you tell them? What would you tell parents of 13-year-olds?
Be careful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she seemed like a normal teenager, you know. She was miserable.
She is.
She was miserable some of the times, but not that often, you know. She was active in sports. She seemed, you know, 85-90% of the time, she seemed absolutely fine.
Yeah, well, that describes a teenager. Tony and Christina Loftus, they've now started a nonprofit. FindYourMissingChild.org. We'll hook you up at HereNow.org. Thanks so much for talking to us about your experience. And again, we're so glad it ended the way it did.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And here are some more tips for parents from the Loftus family in using social media to find a runaway. They say, be prepared to be considered a suspect by people on social media. Also, once you use social media, there's no going back. It's on the Internet forever, so be prepared to give up your privacy. By the way, they're now protecting Allie's. That's why we're not hearing from her today. They say, create a new specific email address for people to write to, tweet, and create a hashtag. You can request the full guide, Find Your Missing Child. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. The latest news is next, Here and Now,